Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Hey, that's me. I like how they're attacking Trump. He's picking billionaires and millionaires for his cabinet. And who would you like him to pick? Jimmy's an idiot. He's not worth a damn dime, and he's a failure at everything. We're going to pick him to run something. Of course you want billionaires and millionaires. Because why? Because you're picking successful people that you hope are going to add value to your cabinet, therefore help America and grow America. We're not looking for morons. Why is this a big deal? I'm curious. How is this a big deal? What do you want him to do? Well, can we find somebody who's not really successful? Can you find somebody who's not really done well in life? Can you find somebody who's not rich? I'm just curious. Like, what is it that you're hoping to gain from this people who bitch a lot? You know who you are. Well, Romney's worth 250. Romney is a drop in the bucket compared to 50% of what he's hired. New Commerce Secretary, $3.1 billion. Got a couple other people he's looking at that are worth over $5 billion. They're going to probably be in the cabinet somewhere. That's chump. Romney's chump change. Like, it's one of those things, like, what are you worth, $250 million? I'll flip you for it. Like, that's. But who do you want? It's curiosity. Like, where is it in our country that we're like, you know what we really need to do? You know, we shouldn't have successful people do things. This is why successful people don't get involved in politics. Producer Anthony and I went out to lunch today. And we were talking. And, you know, about what he's going to do with his business. Because, again, this is a whole new world that we're living in when it comes to the business aspect of it all. We have never had anybody who has been this successful, who has ran for president of the United States, won, and been first and foremost and only a business person. We want that, right? Isn't the whole thing about running for president is that anybody can do it? No matter how crazy you are, or no matter how, you know, poor you are, no matter how rich you are, anybody can run for it. And in doing so, you're just a normal person. Well, he's not a normal. No, but he's not. But he's not a politician. He didn't start out at 21, become a politician straight out of college, and then stay around D.C. in the Beltway forever and a day, maybe work for some lobbyist firms, make a little money here, a little money there. Yeah, and, you know, he didn't do that. This was a guy who was a dude who said, I think I can fix America. And we want more people like that, especially at local levels. People who are fed up. People who are sick and tired of. We want that, right? But don't you want somebody who's successful? I mean, is that wrong? Is that a bad thing? I don't think it's a bad thing. It's a great thing. I want successful people to do things. That's what you want. You don't hire, like, this coach over here has never won a game in his life. Let's hire him. Because we're winning too much. And that's not what you want. You're like, this person, I think, has a great idea. We could make this thing work. Let's get this guy on board. That's exactly what you want. Yesterday, we gave kudos to him last night, but kudos again. He was on board and on the phone, both he and Mike Pence, getting Carrier to keep 1,000 of those jobs here. Not going to belabor it and drag it on forever. Good work. They said today that they were offered incentives. Of course, you're going to have to. That's negotiation, right? We'll see. Carrier still has the right to bounce. Those incentives may not be all they're cracked up to be. It may not be enough to be competitive. You know what was funny? I listened to, and we forgot to grab it, the Carrier when they announced they were going to Monterey. And the thing that was, like, he's talking to the 2,000 people. He's talking to them, and the guy that's the head of Carrier, and it's like, look, we're going to move our – to be more competitive, Phil, when I listened to it, I was like, I have to hear that again. To be more competitive, we're going to have to move down to Monterey, Mexico, based on the fact that right now the landscape that we are currently finding ourselves in, we're just not as competitive as we can be, so we're going to have to move down there. And then he says this is just business. It's not personal. Like somebody's like, oh, well, it's business. Like, what did you expect to say? And the reason I'm doing this is because you slept with my wife. You wanted to be a father to my kids. You cheated at Yahtzee. I mean, like, what? Of course it's just business. Like, who says that? This is business. Of course, yes. You're the CEO of a company. Of course it's business. You're not making the money you should be. Profit is not a bad word. Like, oh, profit. Oh, don't say it out loud. My mother hates when you say profit. So they gave him some, you know, they gave him some incentives. But good for them. I mean, honestly, good for them. You know, they work something out. So I was trying to explain to somebody today. It's like, look, I don't know how this is going to end up. He could be great for America. He may struggle at times. I think he's going to get frustrated. I think he's going to, this is the world we live in. This is it. This is the world that we live in. And he's got to try to figure out how to work, to live inside of this at times confined area of politics where you can't just say, go get it done, because you have equal parts of branches that may not just allow you to go get it done. I find it funny. This is not personal. It's just not. It's totally not personal. It's not. It's not personal, Phil. Phil, this is not personal.
It's business, Chad.
It's business. Who says that? Like, what are you thinking at that point in time? I don't know what kind of incentives they gave him. I mean, look, I think a lot of companies are standing on the sidelines and excited at the possibility of what may come. Are we going to have an opportunity to bring some money here? Are we going to have an opportunity to solve some issues as far as manufacturing goes so we can keep some places here? Are we going to, you know, what's regulation going to, I mean, there's so many things that go into what the potential could be, but he's going to have to fight through some Republicans in some of this. He's going to have to fight through the Democrats in a lot of this. There's a lot of things that he's going to have to fight through. It's not going to be as easy as just like, I snap my finger. And that's where I think the frustration for him is going to come. Because when you're used to being top dog, and yes, you're singularly the top dog, but you're also one of three, if you will. You got the oracles with the black robes, right? You got the appointed minions, and you've got yourself. And your power is as strong as all of theirs, but you got to think about it. It's not do as I say. And remember, many times, Congress and Senator, these people think they have more power than you do, and they wield it at times. And in some instances, they're right. They will wield that power. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi. That bag of bones is still there. They could not get rid of her. That guy tried his damn hardest to get rid of her. But it did not work. And he was very nice and cordial, by the way. I think he knew at some point in time he may not win this thing, and he wants to be cordial so he doesn't get killed. Tim Ryan is his name. Like, you care. But Tim Ryan, nobody cares. But he tried hard to unseat her, and she is dying in that throne. There is no way you're taking her out. In fact, you may have to just saran wrap her when she's gone. Give her a posthumous vote. That's politics, though. That's what surrounds it. I just love what's Trump going to do with his business? Of course he's not going to handle his business. His kids are going to handle it. Will he have a say in some stuff? Yeah, probably. Will other countries be kinder to Trump because business may be being done? Probably. He's the president of the United States. Of course, right? You're courting his favor. That's just the way it is. He may not ask for it. He may never ask for it. Doesn't mean people won't do it. There's a difference. As a pay for play, or somebody's doing it because they feel they're going to get something from you. If you're asking for it, that's pay for play. If they're doing it out of the wink, wink kindness of their own heart and you're not going to give them anything for it, well, we'll see. Very interesting. Every hour at this time, this hour right here, we do this thing called What's Next. And after I saw this today, and this is something we're going to tackle, what's next for Roe versus Wade? What is next for that? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. So what's next? Roe v. Wade, Chad Benson Show.
Already hooked.
And we're just getting started.
Whoop-de-doo!
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It is a weird thing. The fight that goes on between gun control and the fight that goes on between choice. A lot of times the same thing. They use the same kind of arguments. It's about control. It's about control. It's about control. Know this, that there are states that do things. People that you know, California's one where they limit certain things. They tax certain things. They want this. They want that. It is what it is. Federally, they've not come after just about yet. Trump says in the so what's next portion of the show that he's not going to challenge any of the stuff. But now if states do, that's a different story. When it comes to choice and it comes to Roe v. Wade, I don't know. I don't think Trump... See, I think a lot of people are blaming Trump for a lot. Oh, it's going to be Trump this, going to be Trump that. The truth is, it's about the court system. It's not the president. The president gets to pick a court person that will sway. I like the way it is, by the way. Can I just say that? For the Supreme Court, I am very happy 4-4. And I know that sounds weird, but I'll get to that in a second. But whoever was going to become president was going to have a chance to place his or her choice into the Supreme Court. And in doing so, they were going to have the sway in a lot of these social issues that Christian conservatives care about, that people in the LGBT community and women and choice and gun rights, all of them were hoping. This is what it was about. And I've told you before that, you know, when it comes to, you know, the court, even if the GOP had lost, they could have appointed new judges if they had won the next election. Could have took it to 11 because there is no limit on judges. Nowhere in the Constitution say it's got to be 9. Got to be. There could be none. There could be one. There's nowhere. So, I mean, the whole we lost a generation thing. Hey, the Democrats could do it. 4 years. You know, Trump could say, I'm done. I'm out. Next thing you know, Pence runs. He loses. Somebody else is in there and they say, you know, we're going to add 2 more judges. And they appoint 2 more people. And by then they could have the House and the whole 9 yards and it'd be a smooth sailing. The problem I find with it is it's what these things are. Especially Roe v. Wade, it is one of those things where it is all partisan. It is. Courts shouldn't be. They should look at the law. They should decipher the law as it was written, not how they feel it was written by somebody a long time ago with a bit of common sense and try to place it. And the fact is we're going to have some issues. We've got judges that are completely biased. Both sides of the aisle. And this is going to be challenged somewhere. Texas may be it. In fact, Texas has announced today that they're thinking about a rule that would essentially require every aborted fetus to have a burial and could cost up to $2,000. So they're going to challenge it. What does that mean for some people? Well, it means that people might want to have to think about moving to a different state. I know that sounds horrible. But if it gets challenges and it's upheld there, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be a lot of issues. Now, mind you, you don't know. Look, Trump could appoint somebody that is conservative in a lot of ways, but looks at the law and says, hey, you know what? We're not going to change anything. So what's next for Roe v. Wade is there's probably going to be some challenges via states. Not a national challenge, not a federal challenge. But via the states. Look, I'm a states kind of guy. I want the federal government as far away from me as possible because I think the federal government's in it only for themselves. I think the federal government thinks it's the end all to be all, and many times they jack the pooch. And I like the states have more control. But Roe v. Wade is going to be challenged, not through the federal system like that. It's going to be a state. It's going to be Texas. It's going to be a very conservative state. It's going to be somebody's going to challenge it, and it's going to go there. And guess what? They're going to get the ruling they want. They are. By the way, abortion is down tremendously over the last several years. Just to let you know, for those of you out there who think it's happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just nonstop. It's a conveyor belt a lot of places. It's not. It's down tremendous. Which is good. Which is absolutely good. But Roe v. Wade is going to be challenged. And how it comes out, I don't know. I really don't know. What I think is going to happen is it's going to become a states' rights issue. And whatever the state says, it's going to go back down there. And the state says this, and that's what is it. And people are going to have to figure out, okay, do I want to be here? Or am I going to go to, if I'm in Texas, am I going to go to Oklahoma if I have to? Am I going to have to go to a different state to have this procedure done? Those are the questions you're going to have to ask yourself. Just like people have questions in California. It's like, do I want to stay here and pay X amount of taxes and get very little services for it? Or do I want to take myself elsewhere? I like the fact that states compete, but this is going to be one of those things where it is going to be challenged, not through the federal side of things, but through states. And the reason I like 4v4 when it comes to the court system is I like states' rights. And when it's a tie, which it often is, especially in very big situations, that throws it back down to the states. And whatever the states had said is the ruling they go with. To me, I like that because I like the fact that states have power. And we'll see what kind of power they have when it comes to Roe v. Wade. That's what's next for it. I think some challenges via the states. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. I don't know if this is insanity or if this is a prevention of insanity, but I just find it bizarre. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Ethan Couch. You guys remember him? Affluenza. Got drunk, killed four people, did no time in prison for it. He pleaded, I'm too rich, I don't know anything about consequences. And because I don't know anything about consequences, because everybody's always been able to buy my way out of consequences, you can't actually punish me for having consequences that I didn't even know existed. And the court said, yeah, he's right. Subsequently, he and his weird mom split off to Texas after being caught with a Vine video of him drinking something that he wasn't supposed to be around, alcohol. And he's currently doing, I don't know what he, I think he got 90 days in jail. His mom's going to do more time. But, I mean, we, look, and this is why think about the first world problems we have. Every once in a while, it's a reminder to yourself to think about where you are in life, no matter how frustrated you are. No matter how much you're fighting for 15, which, by the way, none of the people that go to this thing I'm going to talk about fought for 15 ever. Ever. There is a ranch. Affluenza Anonymous. Rehab for the young, rich, and addicted. That's right. Set up by a guy named Jameson Monroe Jr., who looks exactly like you'd think he would, in a tie, in a preppy little outfit, the nice little spiffy haircut. By the way, none of these people have any kind of tattoos or look any. They are exactly what you think they are. But they all have a problem. They've all been in trouble because they've all had access to money. And that's what I try to tell people. I have known some really rich people. In fact, I knew a person, one of the wealthier cities in America is in Orange County, California. And I worked with somebody whose grandmother and grandfather founded the city of Irvine. And to say that he had access to everything would be a lie. And to say that he was affluenza would also, that doesn't even describe the kind of wealth that he had and the access to everything. But eventually, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa got sick and tired of bailing him out. So I get it. Look, I get it. I think what they should do is, and for a younger generation, is teach the parents. Again, a lot of this goes back to parenting, right? A lot of it is parenting. Teach the parent that you got to teach your kids that there are consequences in life. There are consequences in life. People don't understand that. I'm always amazed. Like, Jack knows there's consequences. He's six. We teach him that. But I understand as a parent, you want to do all you can to soften the blow for certain things. That if you can fix something, why not fix it? But in the long run, is that a help? No. Not always. Every once in a while, it's okay. But you got to have consequences. But this camp is expensive. By the way, this camp or rehab, now they're calling it a rehab program. Get ready for this. It's $40,000 a month. $40,000 a month. Jameson, who started it, Mr. Monroe Jr., he was arrested over five times, kicked out of tons of prep schools. He had all kinds of issues with self-esteem, huge depression, drugs, alcohol. He said he did all kinds of self-harm. He cut himself a lot, contemplated killing himself. Plus, he had a lot more cocaine and a lot more drinking because he had a lot of access to things. I think what a lot of people forget is rich kids or kids who are born into wealth, they have problems too. You know, being depressed is not just a middle class or a poverty thing. People get depressed all the time. Rich people get depressed because it's a human nature thing, and we're all human beings. There's always that person who's chipper, and you're just like, oh God. But you know, there's always that person who's down, and sometimes the person who's chipper doesn't have a lot in life, and sometimes the person down does. But we're looking at it from a materialistic thing, and that's the thing we do in this country is we look at things from a materialistic standpoint. You can't be sad. You have money. All money does is buy you peace of mind for the trivial things and for the things that are necessity day to day, the rent, the food, the things of that nature, and the getting stuff. Ooh, I got a new car. I got a nice car. I got this. I got that. That's all it does. It doesn't buy. It makes things less stressful, but it doesn't mean you as a human being can't be depressed. And a lot of these rich kids, they get this way. They do. You're always worried about the transfer of wealth in this country. Yes, a lot of young kids and a lot of middle class, I mean, a lot of kids who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, their moms and dads and grandma and grandpas are going to pass away and they're going to leave them a lot of money. And you know what? A good portion of them are going to piss it all away. Some of them are going to do good with it. Some of them are going to build a business with it. But a lot of them don't have the drive. So we'll always have people climbing ladders because they have drives to get to those places. But what this is about access. That's what it's about. Mom and dad are well-to-do. Mom and dad have everything at their fingertips. Mom and dad would rather deal with something easy so there's no consequences than actually show them there are consequences in life. One of the reasons I don't coach soccer anymore is because the last time I coached, I was coaching an under 16 girls team in Newport Beach, California. By and large, most of the girls were uber wealthy. Their parents were uber wealthy. They were, you know, we had a couple of them whose fathers had created some amazing things that you see on the space shuttle, and they had just gobs of cash. And they had zero respect for me, and the kids had zero respect for mom and dad, and the kids had zero respect for me. There was a lot of things, and it made me not want to coach anymore because kids were so obnoxious and their parents were worse. And I've coached where, you know, the parents don't have a lot. And you know what? I found them to be a lot more respectful. Now, in saying that, the girl who was the richest on our team, I was joking one day. I said, how many of you kids, how many of you here, how many of your parents have Ferraris? It was a little girl, Kristen. And they said, Kristen, raise your hand. Your dad has three. She worked harder than everybody. Because mom and dad taught her responsibility. Mom and dad taught her consequences. Mom and dad had taught her a lot of things. They didn't pay for anything. She had to work hard, do extra stuff to pay for private lessons, to do all these kinds of things. But a lot of these other kids, no. And I saw them going down paths. And the paths were, you know, access is what they had. So I could see why something like this Affluenza Anonymous, I understand. All it really is a rehab center for people who could afford to pay for it a little bit better than everywhere else. And the focus on the fact that they can go whine, bitch, and moan. Because the truth is, when we want to talk it out with people, when we want to console with people, when we want to talk about certain things with people, one thing I think we forget is we usually like to console with people who are like in a lot of ways. And you don't relate to them if you're normal, if you will. If you're a middle class, you know, your mom and dad make 100 grand a year. Between the two of them, they've got a nice house or whatever. They make 60 grand a year and they got any, you know, and they're working hard and they're not rich and they're not poor, but, you know, they're somewhere in the middle. But you don't relate to somebody who's got, you know, on that Sweet 16 show, right? My Sweet 16. You don't relate to somebody who, you know, flies around on private jets. You don't relate to somebody who has access to everything, who gets a $1,500 a week allowance. You don't relate to that, and they don't relate to you. It's not a bad thing. It's just reality. So their problems are a lot of times a lot different than everybody else's problems when it comes to it because of the access, because of the wealth. And that's really what a lot of this is. It's just having an opportunity to sit down and talk with people that you kind of relate to. But when I look at affluenza and these kind of things that these people spout out about, it's never the kid. Yeah, the kid's a dumbass. But mom and dad are usually the bigger dumbasses because they have allowed them to be this way. It's like everything else. It starts at home. It starts with your kid. If your kid is a jackass, 99 times out of 100, I can point to why they're a jackass. Because mom and dad have allowed he or she to become a jackass. Showed them zero consequences. Catered to them, did everything they want because it was just easier. 40 grand a month, though, man, that's steep. That's steep. And by the way, a lot of these kids that go there, it's not just addiction. It's depression. It's dealing with all the things that are in front of them, dealing with success kind of issues they talk about in this. Because, you know, your mom and dad are super uber successful, so you're going to be super uber successful. People can't handle that. Crazy. 40K a month, dude. That is a lot, Phil. Like, if you have to go to Affluenza, Phil, we're going to send you to, like, $300 a month.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. Just come over to my house. You tell me your problems. We'll just, I'll sit in the chair the first time, and you lay on the couch. Then I'll lay in the couch, and then you sit in the chair. We'll tell each other our problems, and we'll take each other out to dinner.
Sounds like a good plan.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423,
323-538-2423.
Say what? Chad Benson Show.
Your mama. That's right, I said your mama. You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what? Say what? Say what?
That's right. I said your mom.
I don't. Again, my cynicism runs deep, just to let you know that. I'm very cynical in a lot of stuff. And this whole thing that happened to this Sherry Pampini woman in Northern California, where she disappeared 3 weeks ago and then was mysteriously found roaming this, you know, this roadway with like a bag on her head, and she was only 87 pounds, and she was, you know, eventually, you know, they concluded that she was chained to something and she was beaten and she was branded, apparently. Now, you know, the husband and wife are coming out saying, you guys are trying to find out if she's a bad person, this, that, and the other. And then there's stuff surfacing that maybe, just maybe, she had some issues with people of color in the past and all. I mean, it's sad that we're so cynical. It is. But when somebody disappears like this and then they're found, it, you know, it just, it makes me wonder. Because we live in a world where, because of internet and viral stuff, people have this want to be famous, to be liked, to be talked about, to be, I don't know if that's true. Look, it may have been, if this is real, and how many times have we heard stories where something like this has happened or something similar, and then as they start to talk to the person, the person's story doesn't add up. And as it slowly, surely doesn't add up, it starts to break down. As it starts to break down, oh my goodness me. I don't know what the story is, but I'm just always suspicious. Say what? I know. I'm always suspicious and have that kind of, you know, that thing the animal does when you think it knows what you're saying and it cocks his head a little bit. I'm always kind of suspicious, and that's kind of what I do when I hear stories like this. I'm like, maybe. Chad, that's not very nice. This is a say what of epic proportions. A woman spent 7 hours vandalizing car. Beautiful Los Angeles, California. Surveillance cameras over the East Hollywood area on Thursday night last week caught a woman in the act as she vandalized the car for 7 hours. She's also seen lying on it, jumping on the car, denting the hood. Stacy O'Melanoff said she just started to break down and started crying. The vandalizing started late on Thanksgiving night and continued overnight, costing thousands of dollars all the way past sunrise. The thing that was amazing about this, producer Phil, is people drove by, took pictures, filmed her, watched her do it, and didn't think anything of it.
Well, this is L.A.
The woman was arrested after a mechanic eventually called the police. Witnesses says the officer struggled with the woman who had a bag over her head because she couldn't stop spitting at their faces. It's not funny. She says she was homeless. She's going to have a 72-hour evaluation, and she's not sure if the insurance will or will not cover the damage. I'm going to go with a no. Are you going with a no? I think I'm going. Like, insurance doesn't like to cover anything, even if it's not your fault and the other person was at fault. You're like, yeah, I was just sitting in my car in the driveway, and this guy drove right through my car. Well, he said it was your fault.
Be interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that works. By the way, Kanye West has been released from the hospital. Producer Anthony brought up something as we talked about Kanye yesterday and the fact that he's breaking down and in the industry and that side of the industry that he's on with rap and being macho, this, that, and the other, and all the things. He said the reason he had his breakdown and he was the way he was is because it was the anniversary of his mother's death, and that what triggered all of this stuff and the stress and the whole nine yards. And Anthony brought up something. Producer Anthony brought up something good. He goes, you know what? You may get a pass for the mom. You may get a pass for mom. Everybody's got a soft spot in their heart for mom. And just watch sports, right? Everybody's like, hi, mom. Nobody ever says, hey, dad, thanks for teaching me how to shoot the jumper. Thanks, dad. Nobody ever says that. They always say, hi, mom. Usually because mom's the only one around. But still, I'm just saying. So we'll see if he gets a pass on that. And finally, in the say what category, An Amazon worker jumped off 12-story building after being put on Big Brother-like performance improvement plan. Do you think it's tough working at Amazon? Yes, apparently they didn't release the identity of the man, but the story indicates he wrote an email before he tried to kill himself. Saying the words "he tried to kill himself" makes me think that this Christmas will be a sore Christmas for the unidentified man. He was very upset because he wasn't doing his Amazon stuff quite up to snuff. So he decided to try to snuff himself. That's a lot. I have never in my life had a job where I'm like, I am so upset that I didn't, that I'm not performing as well as I should, that I need to take myself out. I think he has other problems. Maybe he needs to go to affluenza camp. They could fix him with all the money they have. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. CHADBENSON, text the show 323-538-2423. Do you think at affluenza camp, like when they get there, do you just take cash and they just pull out a big wad of cash? I'll be here for 4 months. That's 160. You can count. It's like my normal day. Yeah, I bet the show.
The Chad Benson Show.